Welcome to Chip Chat, an interview series that connects you with technology experts around the issues that industry is focused on today. And now your host, Allison Klein.
We're back live from a gorgeous day in Seattle, Washington at Supercomputing 2011. This is Chip Chat, and I'm Allison Klein. Our next guest is Ramesh Perry, Principal Engineer of Intel. Welcome, Ramesh.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So Ramesh, the topic today is VTune Amplifier XE. Why don't you tell me a little bit about what you do at Intel, what your team is focused on, and why it's so important to the way technology is evolving?
My team does VTune Amplifier XE, which is a premier performance analysis tool. And I have been with Intel for almost 12 years now. And I've been working on VTune Amplifier for about 6 years. And this tool is primarily used for checking the performance of any application that runs on Intel processors. And if you think about why you would want to run your applications on processors, the number one reason is you want to solve a problem, mm-hmm. and you want to solve it as quickly as possible. Mm-hmm. And the tool that we do tells you how well you're doing with respect to utilizing the features of the processor to run your application.
When you look at that, you know, you've been working on that for, did you say 6 years?
Yeah.
Lots of different challenges in how we drive performance on our processors in that time frame as we've moved from single core to multi-core devices. How has VTune kept pace with that? And, you know, what has been the focus on working on performance optimization as our architectures have shifted?
Yeah. In the past, we had, before the multi-core era, we had single cores. Mm-hmm. And during that time, we had two different products. One is called the Thread Analyzer, and the other one is the VTune. Mm-hmm. And around 2003 or 2004, Intel started putting out multiple cores on a single chip, and the whole industry moved towards multi-core processing.
Right.
And during that time, we decided that it makes sense to start looking at the application as a whole, both in terms of optimizing for parallelism and also for a single core performance. And that's when we started doing this VTune amplifier, which incorporates the features of parallelism and also for a single core performance.
So it is a hybrid approach looking at both performance per core and performance across cores.
Yes, that is right.
You know, we're at Supercomputing, and you told me before we got started that you actually did make it to the show floor today. And Supercomputing, probably the biggest conference that's focused on performance, so this must be a VTune exciting time for VTune as we see how people have utilized our tools to deliver the top computing solutions in the world. What did you see on the show floor that excited you, and what are you excited about for Supercomputing this week?
Yeah, I mean, coming to Supercomputing is always an exciting thing for me. I mean, I've been going to this conference since I was a student about 20 years ago. And it's always an eye-opener as to how Supercomputing is playing an important role in people's lives. And especially when I go to the floor today, I see a number of applications there where performance is very critical. Mm-hmm. And Supercomputing is very, very important for solving those problems. And also the tools that we produce play a very critical role in making sure that the applications perform very well on these big machines. And that's what really excites me.
So you're holding out on the audience a little bit, Ramesh, because you had mentioned something about a flight simulator that was exciting.
Oh, yeah.
What was that?
So if anybody has a chance to go check out the Intel booth at Supercomputing 2011, I would highly recommend them to do so. We have a flight simulator, and essentially this is putting two people into a box, and it is going to rotate them and then move them around in various angles. And the software is going to give you the feeling that you're driving an airplane, pretty much.
So you put two people in a box and it actually moves you around and simulates flying a plane. Does it actually make you feel like you're flying?
I think so. I mean, people who have been in that tell me that it is an awesome experience.
That sounds very cool. So for those who are listening that are in Seattle this week for supercomputing, definitely go check that out in the Intel booth. Obviously, performance matters there too. So why don't we get a little bit deeper into VTune and the evolution of VTune and how it's been able to deliver improved performance as the solution has evolved to match the architectural opportunities. When Intel introduced VTune as a solution? It's an old program for us, I believe.
Yeah. So actually, VTune is the first software product that came out of Intel.
Mm-hmm.
And if people remember, in 1992, there was an article in Byte magazine which talked about the various performance counters that are available inside the chip, which were not really published anywhere. And people discovered that these things are available, and they started using it.
Mm-hmm.
And Byte ran an article about it, and then it was a big sensation in the academic community because people could imagine a lot of uses for that. Since then, Intel also realized that, yes, this is something that is very useful for software developers.
Mm-hmm.
And they started publishing that, and also they put together this tool called VTune, and the first release of VTune happened in 1994 by a team of people, and then ever since it has been supporting all the processors that were done by Intel.
Before VTune, how did performance get optimized? Is it a more of an ad hoc or third-party approach, or how was that being done?
It was primarily an ad hoc approach, and also there was a open source tool called GProf, which used to give insight into how an application is performing, and it is primarily based off of software hooks into the program, but VTune changed that by providing hooks into the microprocessor itself and telling what exactly is happening inside the hardware when the application is running on the processor.
So does it optimize and allow for easier access to writing to the instruction set architecture, or is that what's happening?
It gives insights into a variety of aspects. One is what you mentioned, which is the instruction set architecture, and it tells you how effectively you are utilizing various aspects of the instruction set architecture. I mean, if you look at the Intel instruction architecture, there are a variety of classes of instructions there. You had the traditional x86 instruction set, and then you had the math x87 instructions, and then you also had the SSE, and then MMX, and then SSE4, and then AVX now. So these are all the various instruction sets which are exploiting the hardware features, and VTune can tell you how effectively you're utilizing all these features of the instruction set architecture. And in addition to that, you can also do a variety of things about how the various aspects of the microarchitecture are being utilized by the program.
It's interesting. This has been a series of really interesting topics this morning, and I keep forgetting that we're on live, and you can submit questions on Blog Talk Radio or at Twitter at Intel Chip Chat. Ramesh, you mentioned a couple of interesting things in that last answer, and let's take a step back for those in the audience. When we design a new microprocessor, you know, where does instruction set architecture fit into the TikTok model? And why is this so important in terms of driving increased capabilities for performance as we go from generation to generation of microprocessor design?
So usually microprocessor design is an extremely complex process.
Mm-hmm.
And what we would like to do is to make sure that whenever we're introducing a new technology, we try to minimize the changes that we're making to it. Now, there are two important things that are present inside a microarchitecture. One is the instruction set architecture, and the other one is the microarchitecture.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what we try to do is to make sure that in the TikTok model, we change only one of these two things in any generation. So when you go to a new instruction set architecture, we try to make sure that the process technology and the microarchitecture changes are as minimal as possible. And then when you go to a newer product, then we try to make sure that the instruction set architecture remains the same and the microarchitecture is more optimized to effectively run the programs that are using that microarchitecture.
When you look at the instruction set architecture evolution, you mentioned a few of the advancements over the years. When the Intel engineers look at what needs to be changed, what are they doing in terms of forecasting future requirements for systems and you know, MMX with multimedia extensions, some of the stuff around visualization with the next generation of instruction set architectures? You know, are you guys magicians? You know, how do we find out what is needed for the design?
Well, I mean, we wish we were magicians, mm-hmm. but unfortunately, it's a lot of hard work. Mm-hmm. So what we normally do is to take a look at all the applications that are currently running and how they're performing on the current generation architectures, and then try to design new features into the newer products so that they can run more effectively all these old applications that are out there. And also, we try to anticipate what are the new applications that are going to run on the new products, and then try to design features into the processor so that they can handle those applications very efficiently.
So that really gets back to the microprocessor design being the longest pole in the tent when it comes to compute solution designs, and really the farthest out in terms of planning for where computing is going. If we guess wrong, we might have a problem, I would assume.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, 10 years ago, if you thought about trying to do video over your computers, you would have been thought of as a crazy person. Mm-hmm. But today, I mean, video processing on a computer is the norm. I mean, a lot of people are throwing out TVs from their homes and using computers to watch their TV. And the same thing is true. The computers are becoming part of the TV at mm-hmm. the same time. So there is a big change that is going on inside the way in which we are using our computers today.
So why don't we go back to VTune for a second, since that's been a critical part of our ability to work with the industry to deliver compelling solutions and take advantage of our latest technologies. When you look at the change, how does your team implement a next level of VTune to enable those capabilities of being fully taken advantage of, and what's the process as we're, you know, getting ready to deliver a product to the market for integration?
Let me go back to what VTune can do mm-hmm. For a person. Mm-hmm. So VTune has three main features. One is trying to figure out how your application is performing, mm-hmm. and then tell you how the microarchitecture is behaving when you're running the application on the microarchitecture. And then the third one is to give you some hints as to where the performance problems are inside the application. And for this purpose, we have four different kinds of analysis types. The first one, what we call the lightweight analysis. And what this is trying to do is to take a perfmon unit, which is present on the chip, mm-hmm. and tells you how various blocks inside your microprocessor are behaving. And this is primarily for a person who is very familiar with the microarchitecture of a processor mm-hmm. and how to tune their application to the microarchitecture. Now, the second one is about how your application is performing from an operating system point of view.
Okay.
And it will tell you at a very high level where your hotspots are inside your application, and then tries to give you some hints as to what you can do to improve the performance at those hotspots. And then the third one is how the application is behaving in terms of parallelization and the various threads inside your application.
Mm-hmm. And when you look at these things from generation to generation of new instruction set architectures, new microarchitectures, how does your team work to prioritize optimization of VTune to take advantage of all three vectors? And how do we make sure that those who are utilizing VTune understand the new capabilities in a way that can be easily integrated into their own processes?
That's a good question, because one of the things that is very difficult about application development is optimizing it for a particular processor. Mm-hmm. And what we try to do is to make it as easy as possible to a software developer, to optimize their application.
Okay.
And the way we do that is by providing predefined analysis types inside the product. And these predefined analysis types are things like general exploration, or do I have a memory problem inside my application? So all of these things are available as a drop-down box when you look at the VTune product. And you can click on one of those, and then the tool is going to decide what are the various features inside the processor that need to be invoked to answer the question.
Mm-hmm.
And then it is going to tell whether the issue exists inside the application or not. And
Okay. And
that way the user doesn't have to really worry about various generations of the processors that Intel is putting out.
The process is really wonderful to understand, and thank you for describing that. I think that we're going to take a break for a second, and I'm going to come back and talk to you a little bit more about the topic of this week, supercomputing, and how performance optimization fits within the supercomputing environment and the HPC industry. For those who are listening, please submit your questions, and we will try to get them to them in the second half of the interview. Thanks.
We'll be right back with more of Allison's interview. Have a question? Visit us at twitter.com/IntelChipChat. We'll be answering questions live next.
We're back at Chip Chat Live from Supercomputing 2011 in Seattle, and I've got Ramesh Perry with me here, Principal Engineer at Intel. We're having a great conversation about instruction set architectures and performance optimization with VTune. But I want to shift for a second, Ramesh, and talk about the supercomputing space in particular, because we've been talking about general performance capabilities and how we drive performance on processors. But I want to get to HPC in particular. You know, one of the things in my notes was MPI and the importance of MPI within the high-performance computing space. Can you tell me a little bit about this and why it's important?
I mean, if you take a step back and then look at how the parallel machines are programmed, there are two major programming models. One is the distributed memory model, and the other one is a shared memory model.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the shared memory model has a programming environment, which we call OpenMP, and then there are a whole bunch of other things. The dominant one there is OpenMP. And then for the distributed memory model, the programming model, which is dominant, is MPI.
Mm-hmm.
MPI stands for Message Passing Interface.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how large clusters, which have a lot of processors, are programmed.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a library, and this was first started in 1992. The first draft of the standard was put out in at the supercomputing in 1992, and then that was the MPI-1, and then MPI-1 was extended to MPI-2, and the standard was put out at again supercomputing around 1995. And this is a dominant programming model, which is used by a lot of HPC programmers to program the HPC machines today.
So MPI, if I understand it, is important because it's a more efficient way for nodes to share information with one another, and elimination of reads and writes between systems. Is that a correct way to take a look at that, or is there more to it than that?
I think you're right. What you described is, at the fundamental level, it is how everything works. So you can think of it as a process which is sitting in various nodes inside a large cluster, and each of the nodes is waiting for a message, which can be some work that it needs to do, or
mm-hmm.
it is a result that it has computed, and then it wants to send it to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And that is how pretty much MPI works. And there are a whole bunch of tools that are out there which will tell you how effective the MPI program is working, and whether there are any optimizations that you can do to improve its performance.
So Ramesh, in case our audience members are thinking we've gone completely nonlinear on them, we were talking about microprocessor performance with VTune, and now you've introduced something around cluster performance with MPI. Why don't you connect those two things together and talk about how your team looks at performance at a solution level, and how those tools would benefit an MPI implementation?
That's a very good question, because what is happening today in the HPC community is that the single node performance and multi-process performance, which is the programming model that MPI promotes is becoming or is being combined together.
Mm-hmm.
And what is happening is that the applications today are a combination of both the OpenMP, which is a shared programming model where you have a whole bunch of cores sitting inside a single processor,
mm-hmm.
and also a large number of such processors which are sitting together inside a large cluster.
Mm-hmm.
And so the programmers are forced to use hybrid programming models today.
Mm-hmm.
And when a programmer wants to figure out how his application is working, they have to look at the performance at a single processor,
mm-hmm.
and also at a whole cluster level. Now, if you want to look at the whole cluster level, we have tools called the Intel Trace Analyzer, which is part of the Intel Cluster Studio
mm-hmm.
Suite of tools, where you can look at how the MPI calls are being made and how messages and communication is happening between the various MPI processes. And at the same time, you can also look at the various threads that are running in each of the process that is sitting inside the single node in the cluster, and use VToon to analyze the performance of that. So you have to use multiple tools for the multiple programming models that are being used to put together the applications of HPC today.
So, you know, the scenario that you're describing is probably the most complex scenario in terms of performance optimization and computing, where you're optimizing at the individual node across a cluster. You know, you've got parallel processing, linear processing, all sorts of things going on. Can you walk our audience through a scenario of how to effectively use VToon within an MPI program, and how, you know, any tips that you might have in approaching that?
Okay, so the way you go about using a VToon for optimizing the MPI program consists of three steps. So the first one is you have to install the application,
mm-hmm.
The VToon
tool.
That's
kind of important, right?
Yeah, that is very important. And a lot of people have trouble just trying to install the tool.
Okay.
And what we try to do is to make it as easy as possible. Now, when VToon supports both the Windows and Linux today.
Okay.
And it tries to be consistent between both the operating systems, because these are the two dominant operating systems that are being used in the HPC community today.
So we're OS agnostic in terms of our support.
Well, we are OS agnostic. We try to be OS agnostic. We try to provide the same set of features across the two OSs, but all the OS details are being taken care of underneath the hood by the VToon developers.
Okay, great.
So we install the VToon on both on the cluster,
mm-hmm.
and when you install on Linux, you have an option to install it on every node in the cluster,
okay.
by picking a option which is provided to you. On Windows, the tool is going to detect whether you're running on the master node in the cluster, and then it is going to spawn off the installs silently across all the nodes inside the cluster.
Okay.
And so that is how you will install it. And then, of course, you have to provide a license key after you install it. And then once you do the installation, then you need to run your application and collect the data.
Okay.
So that is the second step inside your data collection.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to do that, what we did is to try to integrate running the VToon very seamlessly into the MPI run. So whenever you want to invoke a MPI program, you use MPI run to execute your application. And all you have to do is to execute MPI run along with ample xcl, which is the command for VToon to collect the data. And once you do that, all the nodes get ample xcl running, mm-hmm. that is VToon running, and all of them will collect the data.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you collect the data, then you need to visualize it.
Right.
And you can use the VToon GUI to bring up the data that is collected and then look at the data that is present. And we can provide a variety of views for looking at that data.
Now, you mentioned OS agnostic and, you know, support for multiple OSs. How about the different MPI implementations, and how do we deal with that? Is VToon tuned for one particular MPI solution, or are there support across the board?
That's a good question. MPI is a standard, and there are a variety of implementations, both open source and closed source, and commercially available implementations of MPI. And VTune will work very effectively with all of these different kinds of implementations. And for some, it will work well. For some, it will not work that well. But for the, at the baseline, it provides you the similar kind of information.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are some tricks and tips that you need to keep in mind to get your application to run effectively under VTune and get some good data about the behavior of your application under VTune. And one of them is to make sure that your application, your cluster on which you're trying to run your application is homogeneous.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if it is not homogeneous, then VTune will not run. And if it it also needs to have a common file system,
mm-hmm.
because the results that are produced by VTune on all the cluster nodes should be available to you at a single location. And if you have a common file system, then they will all be available there.
That seems like good housekeeping for a solution anyway, though. That doesn't seem to be too constraining, or am I missing something?
No, it's not too constraining. Most of the applications or most of the clusters are built that way, so it's not an issue at all. But there is something like, for instance, the Intel implementation of MPI uses spin locks for all the communication between the processes.
Okay.
Now, that is done for a... for efficiency reasons inside MPI, but that will have some interesting implications for performance analysis. Now, if you use the default implementation of spin locks in the MPI, then you would see a lot more utilization of the CPUs inside VTune. Now, there is a switch inside the Intel MPI implementation. If you can set that, then you can change the default behavior of spin locks to weights. In which case you would get a better behavior of the VTune inside the application.
When you look at the actual utilization of VTune, you know, the proof is in the pudding. So where have you seen partners utilize this solution to increase their performance significantly? And do you have any stories or examples of really great improvements that VTune has driven in terms of application capability?
VTune, as I said before at the beginning of this podcast, is a critical tool for Intel's processors. When every Intel processor that is put out, VTune mm-hmm. supports it.
Yeah.
And typically what happens is that a customer tries to evaluate his new purchase decision based on whether his application is running effectively on the new processor or not. And if it is running, then he would go and purchase it. And typically what happens is that that application runs slower on the new processor.
Mm-hmm.
And that is when we go in and then use VTune, like a logic analyzer, to look at why the application is running slower on the new processor. And then figure out the reason for that, and then try to fix that, so that it will run better.
Mm-hmm.
And also it will improve the performance. At the same time, it will improve the power consumption, which is, again, very critical for a lot of applications that are
sure.
happening today.
Well, Ramesh, I wish we had more time. This conversation has been incredibly interesting, and I feel like we need to have you on the program again soon to go further with this this topic. But I know that you've got to get back to supercomputing, and we have a time limit on the show. Hopefully you'll come back soon to talk a little bit more about VTune and what you've seen at the show around successes with MPI implementations. Where can people find out more about VTune if you've piqued their interest and they want to take a look at the product?
We have a website. At the Intel website, you can look at VTune, and also there are forums where a lot of questions that get asked and answered at the Intel website. I mean, check that out. You have a ton of information out there. I mean, there is a lot of documentation that is available, and also there are a bunch of people who are very active in these forums who can answer questions for you.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being on the program today. Hope you have a great week up in Seattle at Supercomputing.
Thank you. I enjoyed talking to you guys.